YouTube. Good morning. How are you today? Blessed. Good. Just wait till the children go. Brock, I need you. Oh, how I need you. I need two other men as well. Corey, could you come just help me? And it's nothing. You got to do anything fantastic. Glenn, thank you so much. Would you stand next to him, please? No, you've got to stand here. There's a purpose for it. Okay. I was talking to Pastor Joy the other day, and I was saying how I felt the Lord had put that we need to look at our hearts. But there's a misunderstanding of what the heart is. So it's good that the Lord gave me the message on Tuesday, because I had all week to really get into it, to see what it is. Because there's a misunderstanding when in the Word of God, when God is talking about the spirit of man and the heart of man. And it's good for us to define which is. So I've rolled these lovely, handsome men up here, and yet I want you to get spiritual now and think of them just not as they are, but what I'm going to say to you, okay? This is who you are. This is your spirit man, okay? This spirit man that you have on the inside of you is huge. Yes, it is. If you were to step out of your body, you'd see him. Not as just a little plop in your heart, which we hear a lot of times. He is huge. This is why I chose Brock. And around Brock is the Holy Spirit. He's sealed in there. It says you're concealed in him. If the Father looks at you, he don't see you. He see the Holy Spirit. That's how close and concealed you are with him. So remember that. That's your spirit man. That's who you are. You don't have a spirit. You are a spirit. Okay? If I talk a little slow this morning, I'm just trying to get us through this, because this is powerful. This is where we live day by day. This is our heart. This is our soul. This is our will, our mind, our emotions. This is our chooser, where we choose life for. And this one here wants to flow freely out of all of us. But if this one is messed up, he's not going to be able to do it. We'll hinder him through our thinking, through our mindsets, and the condition, which we're going to talk about today, of our hearts. This dear one here is our flesh. We won't mention him too much. Actually, he has no mind of his own. Sorry, Glenn. Just ignore that. He has no mind of his own. He only operates from what this one lets him do. So when you say, I'm having a fleshy day, no, you're not. No, you're not. Because he can't operate without this one. And this one can, these two, need to be submissive to this one. Talking too fast? I'm sorry. And I'll repeat. So we are spirit. We are a spirit. We have a soul, which is called the heart. So whenever you see the heart, that Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Either in life, he will rule, or he will rule. But this one is a perfect gentleman. He will be quiet and let you, this soul, do what it wants. But that's not the way God ordained this man to be. The lack of power we see in ourselves and in the church is because this is ruling. We depend so much on our reasoning, on our thinking. And we're going to talk today about the conditions of the heart. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Jesus. So the heart is the will, the mind, the thoughts, and the feelings. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's powerful. You could stop right there and take that and meditate on that all day long. As I am in my thinking, in my mind, so am as I. If I don't get into this and let this transform me, my soul and my heart will rule. Because you'll have nothing to deal with Satan with. You'll have nothing to deal with the thoughts that come into our mind. Your mind and your heart, you need to put a gate up in your mind and say, you're not coming in here. You need to deal with thoughts quickly when they come. Proverbs 4, 20 to 23. What gets into our hearts will control our lives like a rudder on a ship, for good or for bad. Everything that controls your life today started with a thought. Whether you took that thought and sat on it, all your emotions. Okay, say it's unforgiveness. If Uit says something, I can use Uit because she knows I love her. If Uit said to me something sharp, I have a choice right there. Here comes the thought. Oh, I'm hurt. I don't like what she said. Now I could say in my heart, I forgive you, Uit, and let it go. So realize that the mind, the soul, needs a gate. It needs a fence around it. Don't let your mind just think what it lets. You've got, through the power of the Spirit and the Word of God, you've got the power to get rid of thoughts, because they will rule us. And God's shown me in such a beautiful way in here how it just messes our lives. One thought. Whether it's bitterness, whether it's hatred, I can choose. I have a chooser. God has left me with a chooser. And I'm so thankful for that. Proverbs 4, 20 to 23 in the Amplified says, keep your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you do, guard it, for out of it flows the springs of life. Have you ever been around a bitter person? Someone that's full of hatred and bitterness? It's going to spew from them because it's had a chance to build up and get a stronghold in their mind. And even though you can, I was talking to a lady yesterday, and I talked to her a lot. She's an Italian lady. I meet her when I'm walking, and I said, "Well, what a beautiful day." "Yes, but it's cold." "Yes, but it's nice to see the sunshine." "Yeah, but I'm..." Everything I said to her, and I'm not putting her down, but everything, she was negative mindset. And that's how we can become. But it hinders. And this is my main thing on this morning. It hinders what God wants to do through you. It really does. It hinders you. The condition of our hearts can affect the Spirit's ability to flow. As a Christian, we are to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. Inside of us, from a heart that is yielded to the Holy Spirit. We choose what gets into our hearts, our wills, our thoughts, our feelings, our mind. We're going to look at three different hearts today. Now, these hearts are going to sound extremely negative. But I feel by my heart, you, Pastor Joy, teaching on forgiveness was so timely. Because I keep hearing things from prophets and preachers, and you sense it in your heart. God is about to do something huge on this earth. God's going to show up on this earth. He is. He's going to show up. And when he shows up, he ain't coming in no small way. There's not going to be any misunderstanding of who it is. This world is going to see Jesus Christ. Not just his second coming. I find myself this lately praying for souls. And I haven't prayed for souls like this before. It's because there's a hurrying up of time. There's a closing in. There's a tidying up of things before Jesus Christ comes. God is going to come, and there's going to be a huge revival. But the body of Christ needs what we're talking about today, because we don't want to block him through our negative thinking. So here we go. We're going to look at different kinds of hearts. God is like a surgeon who loves to prune us, clean us up, and he does this for our good. And he does it through the word. Let's look at Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, and the joint and the marrows. And look at this. And as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Sometimes you'll read the word, and if you've got something in your heart, you kind of wince, because the word can kind of cut. The word can cut your soul from your spirit, and it can get. You know, you can be around somebody, and you come to church in the morning, and everybody's, hallelujah. How are you, Rebecca, today? Oh, I'm just fine. But in here, something is going on, but you don't want anybody to see it. But the word of God can come in a service, and I love this. I love it when I get things during the week, and then you come in here and you're either singing or Pastor Joy says something, and it's the same thing as what God has been talking about. The word can cut. And when it cuts, cut is not a negative word with Jesus. It means he's pruning you. It means he wants to bring more fruit in your life. He wants you to be more powerful with him. He wants you to lay hands on the sick. He wants you to be ready to deal with what the life throws at you. And you can only do that with a heart that you allow him to work on. He never condemns us. Whatever I'm going to touch today, I'm not pointing at anybody. Please don't go home hurt and offended when I'm going to teach on offenses. Don't do that. God wants us to yield to him so he can operate on us. That's how I think of that. I used to work in the operating theater, and the patient has no choice. They just lay there and the surgeon works on him. But he's doing it for their good. If he's touching areas of your life that you'd rather not him look upon or touch, it's for your good. Nothing can sit in our heart that's negative and not produce something. Nothing. You can cover up from me. I can cover up from you. But God's eyes sees everything. But not to condemn you. Not because he loves you, is to deal with that thing and get it out. Do you know people carry things for years and years and years? I had a friend years ago. She was terribly depressed and emotionally ill because her husband, who was now in the grave 40 years ago, had gone with a prostitute. And she could not let that go. She went into paranoia. You'd go to her house, there was 6 chains on her door. Because she's convinced that people were coming in and out. This only happened when she gave in to unforgiveness. It will eat you and lie, and it will open us up to the enemy like nothing else. I know myself, if ever I start having bad dreams, I can guarantee I'm in unforgiveness. Because I really believe if we walk in love and we walk in the Spirit with God, Satan cannot touch you. He'll come. And thoughts will come, but you can deal with them and get rid of them. So he never condemns us, but as a loving father can see where we are going wrong. We don't want to be unaware of how Satan can affect our hearts. We don't want to be able to. Mark 4. This is really good. I'm bon appetit. I'm enjoying. Isn't it wonderful that you can enjoy God's word? You can look in there and you can be down and you can end up being up the time you're finished. It's wonderful. Okay, Mark 4. The sower soweth the word. And I'm just going to skip through that next verse. Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Your soul, your mind, your emotion, your will. And these are likewise that were sown on stony ground. But immediately it received it with gladness and have no root in themselves. No root. You have no steadiness. You have no stability in your life. You're tossed to and fro by your emotions. God don't want you like that. And afterwards, when affliction or persecution arise, for the word said, immediately they are offended. I want to talk a little bit about offense this morning. I read recently John Bevere's book on the bait of Satan. Everybody should have that book. 50% of people leave churches because of offenses. But do you know the nasty, subtle thing of an offense is that you don't know you're in it. Most times, God has got to speak to you to tell you that you're offended. Because you can feel, I don't want to be around them people no more. I don't like those people no more. But you don't realize there's an offense that is happening to your life. The Greek word for offense means to entrap, to trip up, to stumble, and a snare. You think of that. You fall into a snare, you're not going anywhere. It means to be offended, taken unawares to cause you to stumble and fall away. How do you get offended? You receive an insult or a hurt and you don't let it go. You don't get offended right away. It's usually an offense is something that builds up on the inside of you. One little thought. Oh, I don't like what they're doing at that church. Oh, they're this and they're that. And then you get critical. And everything is wrong. And you notice everything is wrong. And what's happening? Thoughts are building up. And then you get into a place of offense. Even this, if you're locked into an offense, sometimes somebody can come to you and talk to you about it. But you can't see it. You've got to ask the Holy Spirit to say, am I offended? I've had to do that. And the Lord said to me one time, yeah, you are. And it was causing me to get off the path I needed to be on. 2 Timothy 2:24. This is, if we meet people that are offended, this is how we need to treat them. Okay, let me get Timothy here. This, I've prayed this over people that I've met. And it's, where have you gone? Sorry, just a minute. Is it 2 Timothy? Yes, 2. Okay, here it is. 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instructing those who oppose themselves. Think of that. Offense, you're opposing yourself. If God for peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, that they'll come to the truth, they'll understand what is going on in their lives, and that they may recover themselves. Look at that. Recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who has taken them captive by him at his will. Whoa, that's powerful. And as Christians, we can be taken captive. This is where another reason why we need each other, to talk to each other, to get these things out if needed, and admit that you're offended and get yourself out of that snare. When you take an offense, the fruit of offense in your personality will be resentfulness. You'll be displeased with everything, and you'll be indignant. It brings pride because you think you know better than other people. Oh, I'm not staying in this church. I'm going to find a better one. Go. It's all right to leave, but leave properly. Don't leave with that in your heart because you're carrying that to the next church, and they don't need you over there with an offense in you. Right? When we take offense, it can cause us to, I believe the Holy Spirit gave me this the other day. When we take an offense, it can cause us to walk right out of the will of God for our lives. That's how deadly it is. I've seen people, I had close friends, we spent every single week with them. And they took offense, and they were just about to start a radio ministry. This is back in the 80s. Lovely young couple. And they went totally off. Somebody came along with another idea, actually to start a church. So it looked good, but it wasn't the will of God. And I remember just the Holy Spirit crying and crying over them. And you know, they had to within 7 months, they were bankrupt. They'd mortgaged their house, and they lost the church. Within 7 months, because of an offense, they didn't hear God anymore. And this other thing came along, looked good, but it wasn't the will of God. Did God want that to happen? No. No. But when I tried to talk to them about it, because I really felt they were going off the wrong direction, they were totally locked up. Even my friend Della, you know, Della is the intercessor, she came to them and talked to them. No, not listening. So I want to see this as a deadly thing. This is not something lightly. This can ruin your whole life if you let it. It's Satan's bait to get you off the track and the path God has set you on. How do we stop this? Be quick to forgive. Forgiveness is so powerful. Just as offense is a powerful thing as far as the devil is concerned, forgiveness is so good for us to do. Most people who have become offended, like I said, they don't know it. Let's go back to Mark 4. You getting something out of this? Good. I want you to. I want to. I had to do some repenting when I sent this message this week. I thought, oh my goodness, he's talking about me. Other conditions of the heart. Look at verse 4:19. And the cares, hallelujah, of this world. Oh, do we know about cares? And deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. That word choke there means to creep in and to suffocate the word. You think of that. Here I am, I'm reading, I'm studying, I'm getting into the word, and here comes these cares. What are you going to do about this? Satan seems to love that phrase. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Oh, what are you going to do? What if this happens? What if that happens? What are you going to do? It goes on and on like a record. And you let that, and it will come in, and it will suffocate the word of God out of you. Be quick to get rid of those thoughts of cares. Be quick. I say my one scripture that is worn out in my Bible is be anxious for nothing. I use that at least 2 or 3 times a day. At least. So don't let him suffocate the word. The word, so it becomes unfruitful. God's word is a seed, and the more word you've got in your heart and in your soul, the more powerful God's going to be able to use you. When you can speak life to people, when you can speak truth to people, but you've got an enemy that will make sure, if he can, to steal and suffocate that word out of you. The mind is the battleground of the heart. What we have playing on our minds will get into our souls and eventually will come out of our mouths. This is what we have to be careful as we're going into this time and this revival and what God is going to do in Hamilton. I hope we can get that prophecy, Pastor Joy, from Kenneth Copeland sometime. What he's going to do here. And I know we've heard this before. We've all heard it before. And we have a tendency to go, yeah, revival in Hamilton. Yeah, but can't do that because it'll harden your heart. If God has spoken it, he spoke that in 1995, he will do it. I've learned with him. I used to wonder why he'd prophesy over things, and now they're coming to pass 30, 35 years ago. A lot of things I'm doing now, he spoke to me 35 years ago. And I used to think they'd come right quick, you know, right away. No, there's a building up. There's a character forming in you because he don't want you to fall. He wants you strong. He wants you studying the word. And in his time, he'll allow you to do what he wants you to do. It's always worth waiting on God's timing. Second heart, a hardened heart. When I was praying about this the other day, I kept hearing the word today. And I thought, what are you saying, Lord? So I started to look it up, and he took me to Hebrews 3. I think this is where a lot of us live in this area. I hope I'm wrong in that, but I think we do. Okay, Hebrews 3, we're going to be reading from 7 to 13. What I found in here is about the children of Israel. Why did the children of Israel get into so much trouble? Let's have a look. Hebrews 3, verse 7 to 13. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost have said to you, here's the word, today, this is our word, this is our word for today. Today, if you will hear his voice. How important is that to hear from heaven? Very important. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. They'd already seen all the miracles, Brock. They'd seen all the miracles. They knew that God delivered them from Egypt with wealth and power. They came out of there. They weren't slaves when they come out there anymore. But they tempted him and provoked him and grieved him because he kept moaning and complaining and moaning and complaining. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they always do err in their hearts. Their err there means to be led astray from my ways. They always do err. What if Pastor Joy said to me, I'm going to do this for you and I'm going to do that in about a month's time. And I keep saying to her, are you sure? You know, I don't know if you're going to come up with your word. Hebrews 3, verse 7.
What was the first heart?
Oh, the first heart. The first heart was an offended heart. Yes. And this is a hardened heart. Thank you. I'm glad you asked. Yeah.
You're not offended, are you?
Oh. I knew you'd say that. I was at home yesterday, and I thought, if somebody asks me, I know what Pastor Joy will say to me. See, when you hang around people for a long time, it's like a couple, right, Brock? You answer for each. Not that we're a couple. It don't mean that. But we just kind of, I knew. You understand. Okay, Hebrews 3, 7 to 10. Let's look at 10. Wherefore I was grieved, and that's that grieved means he was provoked by them. They'd always do err, that's an old word, but it means that they were led astray away from his ways. And in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So in their soul, they were convinced that God was not going to come through for them. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. Look at this. This is powerful. Prick up your ears now, because this can help you. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. If you want to walk close to Jesus, you're going to have to stay in faith, believing. You're just going to have to. But exhort one another. This is why we need the body of Christ. Daily, while it is called, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Unbelief is deceitful. You can get... I know it's with myself sometimes. Sometimes I pray and I can sense faith being released from my heart to pray about something. Other times I just pray and it's like as dead as a doornail. You know, there's nothing. There's no faith. There's no connection with that thing that I'm believing for. So we don't want to depart from the living God. A hardened heart, this is the fruit. Remember what we saw, the fruit of an offensive heart. This is the fruit. It will get dry, tough, harsh, and stubborn. That's the fruits of a hardened heart. You'll get rebellious little bit by little bit every time you come into church. And if there's a little thought going around your mind, well, I'm not going to receive that. I don't believe that. And we do that. And you sit there week after week and you get that attitude built up. It's building up a rebellion. They didn't start being rebellious. It was a process. A hardened heart is a process of keep receiving and not believing what the word. Every time somebody stands up here, we are responsible for what they say. No, what the word of God is saying to us. You can't go and stand before God one day and say, I didn't hear. Because you are. You're hearing now. And if you're standing behind me and you've got an offended heart in heaven, I'll say, I know about that. She's guilty. No, I won't, not really. I wouldn't do that. I'd be just so pleased to be there. So that's a hardened heart. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. A perfect heart there means a heart that is restored and whole. We want God to manifest himself in our church. We need to ask him to give us a kind of heart that will allow him to show himself strong on our behalf, that he will build this church. Every time the word is preached, we make a decision what we will do with it. Right now, unconsciously, you're making a decision. Either you'll say, I'll take that word. I'll believe that. That's for me today. I'm going to tuck that away. I do that. I'm going to tuck that away. I'm going to, when the time comes to use it, I can pull that out and use it. So we make a decision. You can sit in church for the rest of your life, and this word will not have one iota of effect on you. You can come in a church and 10 years later be exactly the same because you've not yielded your heart and your soul to take this word and believe it and use it. And that's sad. That's an unfruitful life as far as God is concerned. That's what it is. I know these things are not fun things to talk about, but I want us to see, and I believe God does too, the destructiveness of these particular things. The world cannot help being angry and nasty and spiteful because they don't know God, but we do, and we don't have excuse to be nasty. There's sometimes there's situations where I'm around worldly people, and you know their language is horrible, and I'm thinking, I'd like to say something to him. You know, speaking like that, standing behind me, swearing and cursing like that. And I hear in here, love, love, love. Love, love, love. Okay, I'll stand here and love him. Because he's a man that doesn't know. We don't have excuses. And God will always help you. If you're struggling with these areas, he'll always help you. When we find ourselves in these conditions, what does the Lord want us to do? Ask for grace first to forgive the people who have hurt us from offenses, because hurts that lead to offenses and bitterness. Remember, we choose what gets into our hearts. Remember that this week. I need a gate. If it says in the word to guard it above all else, that's how necessary the soul needs to be set on things above, not on these things on earth. Then we need to repent. That's a strong word you don't hear in the church very often. But we need to repent. To say sorry? No. My son used to run to me. I'm sorry, mum. But I didn't see no change. And I think we do that with God. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Sorry, God. There's no change. What does repentance mean? It means, first of all, to take responsibility for your actions. It means to reconsider, to think differently. Psalm 51:17 says that a broken and contrite heart God will not despise. You don't hear about brokenness too much in the church now, do we? We used to hear a lot about it. But we need to be brokenhearted over our sin. When you can sin and it doesn't have any effect on you, like in the sense, if you can be just plain out nasty and bullish and bossy and nasty with people, and it has no effect on you, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's got into your heart. Think about that. Do I try to be nice? Do I try to be kind to people the best I can? Because we should do that. Because we are a representative of him on this earth, you know. I was so thankful the other day, and please, I'm not praising me up, but this lady in my building said, there's something different about you. And I thought, oh God, I've been praying for that. All these 48 ladies all living there, and some of them are so bitter, and so full of hatred, you wouldn't believe it. But one would come to me and say, I don't know what it is about you, something's different. And it opens up, not because I'm Miss Nice, You were talking about manners the other day. English people are brought up on manners. If they are, excuse me a minute. But you know, if you've got offenses and bitterness in your heart, it's going to be very hard for that not to come out. Especially if it's been in there a long time. Yeah, it's going to come out. It's going to show up. It's like putting a bottle and trying to keep the top on it, but the top ain't keeping it on. I've had worries and fears that I've called my friends and I said to myself, I'm not going to talk about it. Just going to ignore it. Talk about something else. But as soon as I got on that phone, they say, how are you? Oh. All it comes, well, I'll just tell you a little bit in the next hour. Excuse me. Lord, I asked you not to have this happen this morning. The next minute, everything has come pouring out. Thank you, Jesus. So it's to reconsider, to think differently. What is the remedy or the cure for a heart condition? What will protect our hearts? Love. That's what will protect our hearts. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. I can be loving, but I don't always love. And yet I'm supposed to, because God has put the love of God in my heart. Love suffereth long. That suffereth there means it endures long. Love envieth not. It's not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. It's not easily provoked. Ooh, how easily are we provoked sometimes? Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. And in the Amplified, it says they believe the best of everybody. When you get a hardened heart, you get into pride. And pride is a bad, bad thing. It's a bad thing. Are they outside? Yeah. Pride is a bad thing because God resisteth the proud. I saw that one day. I repented real quick because we all get in pride. We all can get puffed up. But really, we don't have anything puffed up to be about puffed up. We don't. So repent. Keep our hearts. God will help us to have loving hearts. Loving him first. That's what keep your heart tender and loving. If you hang around him and talk to him and read his word on a daily basis, it will keep your heart tender. You won't be able to be nasty. And if you are, you'll want to repent real quick. Because it will keep your heart. What do we need? We need our hearts to be sensitive to God. We need to go back to Brock and those this morning. We need to go back. We are a spirit and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We live in a natural place, but we don't have to. We are spiritual beings. You think of that. You have eternal life, Rebecca, living on the inside of you right now. In your spirit, you are immortal. This is mortal. This will perish. But in your spirit, we have the God of all love in our spirits, but our chooser. Each day has to choose. Do I choose hatred? Do I let offenses grow up in me? Do I allow my heart to get bitter? I think I missed that one. That was the third one. Bitterness. Bitterness is poison. And bitterness will defile. The actual word for bitterness in the Bible is poison. I know that in Hebrews 12:15, let's just look at that because I don't want to miss that. How are we doing for time? Pastor Joy, we doing okay with time? Okay. I know I'm going slow this morning, but I want to emphasize what we're talking about here. Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root, there's a root of bitterness springing up, trouble you, and that many be defiled. In my lifetime, I've had to separate myself from two people that had got so bitter that I couldn't bear to be around them. They were dear people in themselves, but they just spewed out all their hatred and bitterness all the time. And you can't be like, and sometimes you have to separate yourself from people. Let's look at James, and we'll just about close on this. Do you find the word challenging to you this morning? Because I do. We should let it challenge us. Challenging is not a negative word. So to bring you up higher. We talk about coming up higher, but how are we going to come up higher? Have you thought of that? We say we're going to go to a new level. Well, how are we going to go to a new level? There has to be a plan. There has to be a goal. There has to be. It'd be like an athlete getting up and says, I'm going to go into the Olympics in 4 years' time. I'm definitely going to be there. Well, how are you going to be there? What are you going to do to get there? So you can't just drift through life because time is going. And we need to fellowship with God and let him get into our hearts. Hebrews 3:9-11. Okay. This is another big one. Therefore, bless we God, even the Father, and therefore we curse men. Ooh, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, he's not talking to the worldly man. He's talking to the church. These things ought not to be. Doth a fountain bring forth the same place, sweet water and bitter water? I have a lovely friend, and I drive with her a lot. But you get in her way, and she's a Christian, bless her. You idiot, you jerk, you fool, you stupid thing, get out of my way. And I sit there and cringe, and I think, one day I'm going to have to bring up James and tell her what James said. It's not you, it's not Melissa. It's not Melissa. Let's clear that. She's sweet. She's my honeypot. I call her my honeypot. Because she is sweet. She's the sweetest one I know. She really is. Can I read that to you again so that it rings in our ears this week? Therefore we bless God. Yes, even the Father. And therefore we curse men, which are made after the similitude. Out of the mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. And you can say, well, I don't care. They get in my way, you know. There's an attitude we get. Have you noticed that? You know, our bodies go, you know. Well, if they get in my way, and if they give me the finger or something like that, I'm going to just at them back. That is devastating for your spirit. It is. You keep that up long enough, and you won't be hearing God speak to you too much. You just won't, because you're hardening your heart. Every time I disobey him, this is not to put a tremendous pressure on you, but every time I disobey him, every time I try to turn another way that he wants me to turn, I'm building up a rebellion. I'm building up an obstinate indignation against him. Because really what I'm saying to him, if you're telling me to love, but I choose to mouth off at somebody, then I'm not yielding to you. We are to be yielded vessels. That's all God needs, is yielded vessels. I heard Catherine Kuhlman say that years ago. All God is looking for is yielded vessels. Vessels that will love him. Do we make mistakes? Yes. Of course we do. Do I say all things nice all day long? No. But I don't want to get to the point where I'm insensitive to the Spirit of God because I've hardened my heart. So please remember that, because God is working on us. He's got plans for this ministry. He hasn't gave up on it. We're at a pivotal time in history right now where we will see God's glory on this earth. And I want to be sensitive to him. I want to be led by him on a daily basis. But I'm going to be, my heart is all hard. I'm not going to be much use to him. And I don't want to be like that. Father, we just thank you for this word today. Not because I brought it, Father, but because it's your word. And Father God, we take your word. We're responsible for this word that's been spoken today. And Father, I just thank you and I praise you for giving us the grace to bring this to pass. And if you find, I speak to you this morning, if you find in your heart that your heart has become hardened or your heart is critical and bitter and have taken offense, I ask you by the Holy Spirit and Jesus today that you let that go. Whatever has been in you for a long time, whatever is even causing you to stumble, even now, after years and years of carrying that, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would be convicted in your heart of the Holy Spirit and that you'd let that go. Because God loves you and he does not want you to stumble. He don't want you to go astray. He has a plan and a purpose. You're here today because he has a purpose for your life. And that, Father, I pray that your children would listen to you. And, Father God, that they would see that you're not trying to hurt them. You're just trying to steer them in the right direction, Father, because of your love for them. And the blessing that you want them to be to this earth, Father God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.